This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Joseph Ellis. The new book is The Cause, and this is a view of the war fast forward because the people participating in this war are thinking about it all the time. They don't even see it as a war. It's seen as a rebellion in London. It's seen as the cause in Boston. However, other cities, New York, Philadelphia, Charleston, have different opinions, and we'll touch upon them as we go forward. There is a battle, though, that will determine everybody's early thinking. That's Bunker Hill, where the British are badly beaten up, though they win the day by driving off the militia. Now comes George Washington to take command, and his vision is for an army, a disciplined army. The British make a decision to withdraw from Boston as cannon arrive that they founded Fort Ticonderoga and hauled over the mountains. The commander understands that he must leave. Howe, the William Howe of the Howe brothers, remains behind. And he is ordered, or the decision is made by London. George Germain is now Secretary of State for the colonies, to move to New York. In moving to New York, Washington has an opportunity at some point to move to New York as well, to hold New York. So the expectation now is that there's going to be a battle. Professor, here is the wonderful insight that I gained from your book. New York becomes the battlefield for the payoff for both the Howe brothers and George Washington. More interesting to me is George Washington. Before the Howes arrive back with a fleet to dominate the story, why does George Washington believe New York is important? Why does he move his forces from Boston, where they're quite secure, to Long Island?
He moves it because he knows, and the American Congress knows, that that's the place the British are going to focus on and attack. They know there's a British strategy to take New York, whose harbor is invaluable for the British Navy, but it will be the headquarters, and then a British army coming down from Quebec will meet a British army coming up from New York in the Mohawk Valley and seal off New England. And then the two armies together will march across New England, devastate everything. The Navy will blow up the cities. And that's their strategy for victory. So Washington takes his 10,000 troops, which are then supplemented by another 20,000 militia from Pennsylvania, Maryland, New York, Connecticut, to defend this archipelago. Notice New York is a set of islands, and any military assessment of the terrain should have informed Washington that this was an indefensible position. And he receives that information, but the truth is he doesn't think he has any choice. He believes in civilian control of the military. He's got to defend Long Island and then Manhattan. And so he proceeds to try to do so, and in the process almost loses the war in the first month of the actual combat.
George Washington wants an army, a disciplined army. This is his thinking of the future. Why? What did it mean to him?
He recognized that the delusion that militia could compete successfully with British regulars was, in fact, a delusion. And that unless we put together an army that was a draft that produces an army large enough, he thought we could easily produce an army of 60,000 troops. He never got more than 12 to 15,000. They refused to draft. And that absent that, it was going to be a protracted war. If you gave him 60,000, we could end the war in a year or two, he thought. Hamilton agreed. But if you don't, I'm not going to be able to anything more than sort of hold our own, and it becomes a different kind of protracted marathon conflict.
The Howe brothers, they're a fascination to me, Professor, for the first time. They're not the enemy. They're us. These are Englishmen versus Englishmen. This is a brother versus brother. William and Richard Howe are charged by George Germain to win the war in one battle, to end it, to crush it. However, they're also peace commissioners. What are they thinking as they approach Washington's army in Long Island in the summer of 76? What is it in their ambition?
Their ambition, and it's a very appropriate question. They don't want to destroy the American army. They don't want this to be like Scotland and Culloden. They want to bloody the Army's nose, demonstrate to Washington and his Army and the Continental Congress that the Americans can't win, and then sign a peace commission that ends the war and go home as diplomats who've successfully ended this war. As a result, because they have that attitude, there are multiple occasions during the Battle of Long Island and Manhattan that General and William Howe and his brother, who's an admiral, could have sealed the traps shut, and they choose not to do that. They don't want to see the war as walking across the dead bodies of Washington and his staff. They want to see it as they're walking up, shaking hands with him and wishing them well back into the British Empire. In some ways, Washington and Howe should have changed places. Washington was too aggressive. Howe was too cautious. It's a moment in the war. If Howe had been more aggressive, it could have ended badly right there and then for the Americans.
To note fighters with George Washington, you make us pay attention to Washington's good fortune to have men to stand next to him despite being overwhelmed. Nathaniel Greene and Israel Putnam. What do we need to know about them, Professor?
Nathaniel Greene is the bigger of the two. He's the one man that Washington said, if I go down, Greene, I want to replace me. He's a Quaker from Rhode Island who starts out as a private or a sergeant, and less than a year later, he's a general. And it's a measure of how it would have never happened in the British Army. But he's simply gifted. And later on in the war, the tactical campaign he runs in the Southern Theater, it's the most brilliant tactical performance by any officer, American officer during the war. But from the beginning, he understands the kind of war this is going to be, and he becomes a member of Washington's council, who offers Washington advice on several occasions when Washington's honor-driven sense of himself would commit him. Washington believes like a challenge to war is like a challenge to duel, and you've got to do it. And Greene is trying to tell him, no, you have to choose your spots here. And becomes, I think, the most thoughtful of his generals. Putnam is a veteran of Bunker Hill, who's an older man who doesn't, after the first year of the war, play much of a role, but remains a sort of hero because of his performance at Bunker Hill among all the Massachusetts people.
The battle on Long Island is a complete defeat. You make very good case that the miracle is not the crossing of the Delaware and the attack on the Hessian mercenaries in December of 76. The miracle happens between the night of August 29th into August 30th, 1776, as Washington falls back. Washington often talked about providence. Is that what he meant, that the weather that changed, the wind that shifted, the marble headers, is that what he means by providence?
In this instance, absolutely. He needs to get across the East River to take his troops off of Long Island and escape the trap. The British Navy, if it catches him in the process, can destroy them all. Thank God the British are pretty much asleep a withdrawal of this sort is very difficult to do because you have to do it in pieces. And the wind had to be right in the current of the river. A fog had to descend over the entire battlefield of Long Island at that time. And everybody who was party that said it was like all of a sudden, you know, God was on our side and we made it across. But the reason I think it's in that and more strategically significant than the famous crossing to the Delaware a few months later, is if he doesn't make it across, the war could be over. At least the Continental Army would have been completely annihilated. Now, we can't play the tape and see what would have happened, but more was at stake in that particular operation, and it was what he called a standing miracle.
The standing miracle means that Washington survives. Despite this, more fighting all the way up the island of Manhattan. The Howes leave an escape hatch, and Washington takes it. He gets some of his force off of the island, crossing north into what is now the Bronx. However, what's ahead of them is nothing but defeat and setback, the Trenton Matter exception. The book is The Cause, The American Revolution and Its Discontents, 1773 to 1783. When we come back, Valley Forge. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.